please remain standing for the scripture reading this morning? We pray with me. God, as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. Our scripture reading comes this morning from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers for the denarius of the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out the third hour, he saw standing in the marketplace more workers without work. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you." So they went. And again, going out around the sixth and also the ninth hour, he did likewise. And around the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here all day without work?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He says to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the Lord of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones and then going to the first ones." When those hired around the 11th hour came, each of them received their usual daily wage, a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they were grumbling against the householder, saying, "The last one works only an hour, yet you have made them equal to us. Equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of those, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not for a denarius agree with me? Take what is yours and go. I choose to give to the last one the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I wish with what is mine? Or is your eye made evil because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I love this parable. I love the parables in general. You know why I love parables? They're simple, aren't they? They're simple and everyday kind of stories, just people going about their lives. And I think because of that, they're very relatable. When I was up in Nashville, part of what I did up there was I helped teach the Bible to children. And the parables were always some of those stories that we use with children because they are simple and relatable. So one of the things we did, we had a special curriculum that we used for children. It was called Godly Play, and the parables, we had them in these golden boxes. Each one was this wooden box painted shiny gold, and we went through this saying, this phrasing every time we did a parable with them. It was, "A parable is like a present. It's got its box. It's got its lid, and when you open it up, you look inside and you see that there's something precious inside that's meant just for you." I like that. I like to look at the parables that way. I think there's something inside of them just for us, something that we need to wrestle with and come to terms with on our own. A lot of times we think of Jesus as a teacher, but when he tells the parables, he's not so much the teacher in the sense of he's giving a lecture and we just all need to remember and write down the information he's saying. But I think with the parables, they're more like thought experiments. He's trying to get us to think, to work through that, to see what he's doing in the parable and have it challenge us. You see, Jesus asks us questions through the parables. Now, this is one way I like to read them. You could read them other ways. This is a method that's presented in Amy Jill Levine's book, Short Stories by Jesus. That's a great way to look at the parables, isn't it? They're just short stories that Jesus tells. He kind of takes a break from what's going on, and he uses these to highlight certain things. He uses them to challenge us in certain ways. And, you know, it's not the only way. Maybe you've read this parable before, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and you've kind of had maybe a different reading of it than we're going to talk about today. Maybe you read through it allegorically. Now, that's a fancy word for saying that things in the story represent bigger things. Our householder, our vineyard owner, in an allegorical reading, he's going to be God, perhaps. And it's a great and a powerful way to read it that way. In this way of reading the story, those wages given out to the workers, well, that's our heavenly reward. Isn't that a comforting story? Isn't that powerful to know that God loves each and every one of us, and God loves us equally? God gives us that grace, whether we've been there all day working, or if we're a little late to the party, if we're coming in late to the game, God still gives us that grace. Well, that's powerful, but I want to take a little bit different approach today. I want to take that approach that I talked about in that book, Short Stories by Jesus, a little more of a down-to-earth approach. And as I was preparing and thinking of how do I present this in a down-to-earth way, I was thinking of my own life. What to me was the most down-to-earth place I could think of? And to me, that was the grocery store. I think if Jesus was writing parables today, Jesus would have definitely made a parable about people in a grocery store. People are just themselves there. They're either hungry or they're about to be hungry, so you kind of get people as they are. And, you know, there's some people that maybe they're all business. They're get in, get out. I'm going through the self-checkout line. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I'm going to get what I came to get. And I'm going, you're not going to fool me by putting the bread and the milk on different sides of the store. Some people like to browse. I'm one of those. Kind of like to look around at all the produce. Make sure you get just the right apple at just the right price. Like to look at everything. And then people are just kind of themselves there. If you saw me at the grocery store, I wouldn't be wearing this. I'd be in there in a shorts and a t-shirt and sandals. That's how I am outside of the church. And, you know, they just make me wear this on Sundays. Have you ever been in the grocery store and you had this situation happen? Now, I'm going to warn you. This was a little startling to some of my coworkers. They had a visceral reaction to this, so I hope I don't upset anybody too much. But have you ever been in the grocery store and you're going to checkout and you thought you were getting in the fast line? There's about six other people at all the other lines, and this line was open and only had two people at it, so you went there. Well, it turns out that cashier is slow. And you notice a couple aisles down, they flip on that sign and they say, we'll take some more customers down here. Well, before you can think about whether you're going to stay in your line, go to that line, you're almost at the register. You might stay there. Well, that person behind you has run over to that register and they have the Usain Bolt of cashiers on that line. They are checking people out left and right. They're out putting groceries in your car and you're sitting there in your purgatory of a line thinking, what have I done? Doesn't that make you mad? You were there. You were waiting. You did your time. You waited a whole 12 minutes or whatever it was, and you're still stuck there. And these people, the back of the liners, people behind you, they're already through the line. How is that fair? Shouldn't they have come ask me, the person that was waiting, if I'd like to have first dibs? Well, you know what they say, the first will be last and the last will be first. I think that saying is just a little bit hard to handle. Sometimes I don't like that saying. Sometimes I think Jesus can just keep that to himself. Because that's a shocking statement, isn't it? When you really stop to think about it, it's shocking. It's hard to put that into practice in our lives all the time. Now, sometimes we, like I said, we have that different focus when we read this. We might have that more heaven reality kind of focus, that allegorical focus where we say, well, that's talking about at the very end. I don't need to kind of think about that right now. But in this more down-to-earth way, I'm going to read through this story again, and we're going to see how does that play out when we put that into practice now, right here. Because I think Jesus' words are a little bit unsettling. I think Jesus tells these parables to challenge us, to ask us questions. And I think that they can often leave us with questions that are hard to deal with. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a householder who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. You see, keep in mind, you could say that that householder was God, but in our reading, we're just going to keep it plain simple. This is just a householder, just a guy who owns some vineyard, and he has some vines that have some grapes on them, and he needs to get them taken care of. So he goes out and he hires some workers. It says he agrees with them on the denarius of the day. A denarius is actually it's the wage of the day, and what it is, it's a good amount of money. It's not just enough to put food on your table for one night. It's enough to put food on the table for several days. This was a good amount of money to receive for a day's work. It was an honest wage. It was a good wage, and they agreed on it. These workers go to work, and it says that this vineyard owner goes back out to the marketplace every 3 hours, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. It got me thinking, is this vineyard owner not too bright? Did they not know how much labor they needed at the beginning of the day? If I was a good, savvy manager, I think I would just take one trip out there, get everybody I needed, bring them back. I wouldn't be going back out there again and again. But in our story, it says that he does. And I think he was probably a good vineyard runner. It seems like, if we remember the end of the story, he had enough money to pay out a good amount of money. He's probably pretty successful at what he does. So let's keep going through this. It says he went back the 11th hour, very late in the day, almost the end of the day, and he sees a group standing there, says, "Why are you standing here all day without work?" Now, I think he knew that they were probably not there all day. After all, he's been there again and again. He's seen everybody there, and every time he goes, he hires everybody in the place. He's saying, "Why are you standing here right now without work?" And I think that's an honest question. And sometimes we might think of these people as those that are maybe the outcasts, but when we have him say that, "Why aren't you working?" I think it's cueing us in that these are able-bodied people. This vineyard owner sees them and they say, "I think you should be working because nothing seems wrong with you to me." So he agrees to pay them what's right, what's fair. He sends them out to the vineyard and they go to work. It comes to the end of the day and he tells his steward, his manager, he says, "Line everybody up, pay them. Start with the last ones and then work your way up to the first ones." Well, they pay the ones that were just there an hour, a full day's wage, a denarius. And those people that were at the vineyard all day long working, they got to thinking, they said, "Whoa, they got a denarius for 1 hour of work? We're going to really come into some money here today. This was a good job." Now, it gets to them, and they also receive that denarius. They get a little annoyed. They begin to grumble, the text says. They say, "How come you've made us equal to those that have just showed up for 1 hour when we've spent all day long, toiling away under the hot sun. What was the point of us doing that if you're not going to give us more? We kind of wish we had waited longer to come work for you. And he says, friend, I don't think friend meant friend, but he says, friend, have I done you wrong? Did I not give you what we agreed upon? He did. He gave them what they had agreed upon. It was fair what he did. And then he says this. He says, is your eye made evil because I'm generous? That's a saying which basically your the evil eye is basically a way of saying you're envious. He says, did I make you envious because I am generous? And he says, so take what is yours and go. And then he ends with this. So the last will be first and the first will be last. I think that's, when we read it like that, isn't that a hard story to take? We don't always like that, do we? Last being first and the first being last. If I was one of those workers, I think I'd be a little annoyed too, that I worked all day and I just got a denarius when he's given out the same amount of money to people that didn't do as much as I did. I would be a little annoyed. How do we really react to this story? When we just look at the bare bones, when we just stop trying to explain away the shocking nature of what Jesus is saying. Because honestly, this might be better news for some people than it is for others. Are we excited about that good news? Because let me tell you, that's good news for the people that got there at the end of the day. We don't know why these workers were without work when this vineyard owner keeps going back and back and back to the marketplace. Maybe they were having some issues at home and they were late getting out there. Maybe they had already worked a job and they came back to the marketplace to find more work because their first job didn't pay so well. Maybe they just had some things going on and they needed more money than was paid at their first job because they've had some unexpected circumstances come up at home. We don't know that, but Jesus leads us along, and I think this is the part of the story we need to cue in on, is that when there was this generosity that happened from the vineyard owner, some of the workers grumbled about it. Are we excited about the good news in this story? Or are we some of those grumblers? How do we react to the good fortune of others when what we seem to receive might just be fair? Fair. Fair is not exciting. Generous is exciting. But are we excited for our neighbors? Maybe if we were one of those workers, would we be excited that our neighbor has some generosity come their way? You see, these parables ask us questions, don't they? And I think the question that it comes down to is where is our focus? Where is our focus? Are we focused on ourselves, like maybe some of the workers were? Are we focused on our status in comparison to other people? They say, you made them equal to us. Are we concerned about how much money we're earning, or to the point that we're not concerned with anything else? They were excited to get more, and when they got what was fair, they thought they had been cheated. You see, I think the focus that we need to have is that of the vineyard owner. The vineyard owner is generous. The vineyard owner is, I think, focused on those workers. I think the vineyard owner asked questions and said, you know, what is going on with these people? Why were they out there? The vineyard owner asked, what would happen if they didn't receive the usual day's wage? Would these people go home? Would they not have enough? So where is our focus? Are we focused on ourselves, on our money, on our status? Are we concerned, like the vineyard owner, with our neighbors, whether they have enough food on the table? Jesus' words can be shocking in this story because they might not necessarily benefit us. They may just only benefit others, and we are asked to work just as hard. But I think if we read this, we know that we'll get what is fair. And that our focus needs to be on those other people, because Jesus does make one thing clear in this parable about workers, where there is all these questions. I think Jesus leaves one thing on the table. It's a statement and it's clear. Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last. Amen.